tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. Sweet prospects, sweet birds and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me. The midsummer sun shines but dim. The fields strive in vain to look gay. But when I am happy with him, December's as pleasant as May. His name yields the richest perfume, and sweeter than music his voice. His presence disperses my gloom and makes all within me rejoice. I should, were he always thus nigh, have nothing to wish or to fear. No mortal so happy as I, my summer would last all the year. Content with beholding his face, my all to his pleasure resign. No changes of season nor place would make any change in my mind. While blessed with a sense of his love, a palace, a toy would appear, and prisons would palaces prove, if Jesus would dwell with me there. Dear Lord, if indeed I am thine, if thou art my son and my song, say, why do I languish and pine? And why are my winters so long? Oh, drive these dark clouds from my sky. Thy soul cheering presence restore. Or take me unto thee on high, where winter and clouds are no more.
I would like to read scripture from Psalm 24 if you turn there. I want to remind you that this Wednesday we will not be having services, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. This passage of Scripture was such a blessing to me at one time during my stay in the hospital recently, and I wanted to read it to you, Psalm 24, and only one verse I want to point out, but let's read this entire psalm together. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas, and established it upon the floods. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? Now here's the verse that hit me in such an unusual way. He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. He shall receive the blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Now I've got a question. The only one who will ascend into the hill of the Lord is that one who is described not as someone simply who is forgiven, but who hath clean hands. And he hath a pure heart, and hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity. That's the only one who will be accepted. In Christ, I have not lifted up my soul in vanity. In Christ, I have clean hands. And in Christ, I have a pure heart. Yes, that describes the Lord, but that describes every one of His people. What we are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? And when I read that passage of Scripture at the time, I was feeling kind of down. And that just thrilled me. That's me. What a blessing. Well, we're so pleased to have Brother Henry Mayhem on the team come up and preach the gospel to us.
I thank Kara for singing my song. I think if I had what you call favorite songs, one of them would be He Hideth My Soul, and the other would be How Tedious and Tasteless the Hours When Jesus No Longer I See. Sweet prospect, sweet birds and sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness from me. And I know two people on this earth that can sing that song the way I think John Newton meant it to be sung. And that's Kara and Judy Estes. I always so blessed hearing Judy sing that song too. Thank you, Kara. It's a great, great hymn. 1 Thessalonians is my scripture tonight. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Let me read about 4 or 5 verses. I call this message the principles of grace. The principles of grace. You could call it the rules of grace, but somehow rules doesn't go with grace. You could call it the law of grace, but somehow the word law doesn't go with grace. So I call it the principles of grace. You know, people who are the objects of God's grace do what they do because they desire to do it, not because they have to do it. People who are the objects of God's grace and love and mercy do what they do because they desire to do it. For them, duty is a joy and a pleasure. Their labor is a labor of love. Their works are works of faith. So let's look at them and then we'll comment on them. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the Spirit. Despise not preaching, prophesying. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. abstain from all appearance of evil. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 16, rejoice evermore. This word rejoice must be mighty important to you and to me. Because the Apostle Paul, in four chapters in the book of Philippians, uses that word 9 times. Rejoice, rejoice, rejoice. He said, finally, winding it up, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Rejoice in his person. You know, when Thomas finally saw the Lord after he'd been raised from the dead, Thomas said, well, except I see the spear mark in his side and put my hands there, I won't believe. And Christ showed himself to Thomas and said, Thomas, reach hither thy hand and touch my side, and be not faithless, but believe. Well, he didn't reach out. He fell down and worshiped and said, my Lord and my God. Rejoice in his person and rejoice in his love. Could we with him? The ocean fill, could the skies of parchment make? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain that ocean dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. Oh, love of God, how rich, how pure, how measureless, how strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' songs. I rejoice in his person, in his love, and as I said this morning, in his precious, redeeming, cleansing blood. I love the blood. I don't think a sermon ought to be preached without the blood being mentioned and stressed. Rejoice in his precious blood and rejoice in his return. One of the last things he said to the disciples before he went to the cross, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And when I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Rejoice all the time, any time, about all things. Let me show you a passage of Scripture that has such a strong, profound effect upon me every time I read it. Turn to the book of Habakkuk. The book of Habakkuk, one of the last books in the Old Testament, Habakkuk, Zechariah, Haggai. Here it is, Habakkuk chapter 3. Habakkuk chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19. I want you to get it and read it with me and put a big star by it. All right, Habakkuk 3, verse 17. Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vine. Now, this is famine. This is want. This is poverty. This is everything gone. The fig tree is not blooming, and there's no grapes on the vines. The labor of the olive tree shall fail, and the fields shall yield no meat. And the flock, no sheep. The flock should be cut off from the fold. And no herd in the stalls. Yet. 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 I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. When things are tough as things can be, he said, rejoice. Rejoice. Now here's what we call an antitype, or antithesis of that. Turn to Deuteronomy chapter 8. This should be read right after reading that. Deuteronomy chapter 8 is good for all of us, good for me. in Deuteronomy chapter 8, starting with verse 11. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. You got it? Beware. Now here's a warning. That's an exhortation. Rejoice. Here's a warning. Deuteronomy 8, verse 11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes, which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and are full, and hast built goodly houses and dwell therein, and when the herds thy herds shall and flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold multiply, and all that thou hast is multiplied, careful, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of captivity. And God, don't forget it. I tell you, one of the greatest enemies to spiritual prosperity and blessing is plenty. Abundance. Abundance. That's what's wrong with our country right now. Got too much. Don't need anything. Rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Who needs God? Well, rejoice. This rejoicing is not outward emotion. It's heart love. This rejoicing is not in ourselves, never, but always in Him. And this rejoicing is not just when we're meeting in the church building. It's evermore. Rejoice evermore. And this rejoicing is not because of material blessings. Rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's it. All right, let's go back to my text. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. John Bunyan made this tremendous observation. He said, sooner expect a natural man to live without breathing as to expect a believer to live without praying. I just as soon, he said, expect a natural man to live without breathing as to expect a believer, a child of God, to live without praying. Because prayer and worship is the life of the believer. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Believers cannot always be on their knees. I know that. What does this mean, pray without ceasing? You can't stay on your knees all the time. Believers cannot always call vocally upon God. There's got to be a time for food, rest, sleep. There's got to be a time for mothers and family duties and men to go to work. And what does this mean, pray without ceasing? It means to pray daily. It means to pray often. And you will. We will. It means to pray about everything. All matters, however mundane they may seem, pray about everything and live in an attitude and a spirit of fellowship and contact and communion with God. Always aware of His presence. Always aware of His mercies to me. And always aware of my dependence. I used to hear a fellow sing a song years ago. Forgive the sins I have confessed to thee. Forgive the secret sins that I just do not see. Oh, guide me, love me, and my keeper be. Dear Lord, forgive. And we live in a constant attitude and spirit of the mercies of God and the grace of God and our total dependence upon God and His forgiving, loving, tender kindness to us. One of the old Puritans wrote this, prayer, what is prayer? Prayer is our soul's sincere desire, unuttered or unexpressed. The motions of a holy fire that tremble and burn in our breast. Pray without ceasing. In an attitude and spirit of contact and communion with God. All right, everything. Watch this now. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. The companion verse to that scripture. Hold that right there and turn to Ephesians chapter 5. This is a companion verse. Ephesians chapter 5. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God for you. Right now, this is the will of God for you. Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks for everything because everything, while not according to my will and not according to my choosing, is still the will of God. Giving thanks for everything, for all things, knowing this, that all things do work together for His glory and our good. And I give thanks for everything. While everything is not according to my will or my choosing, but it's still according to His will. This is the will of God for you. And thirdly, giving thanks for everything. Because what this is so important, very important. Giving thanks for everything at all times because what God brings to pass in my life is not only for me, it's not only for my sake, it's for the will and purpose of God for everybody with whom I'm endowed. That's right. Not just my family, my children, my acquaintances, my friends, the people whose life I touch. Give thanks for everything because it's the will of God. Not specially for my will, or not specially for my choosing, or not specially for my benefit. It may be a tough, tough trial. But it's for somebody in which God is involved. It's for somebody. You know, Naomi. Think about this. Naomi. She and her husband sold out and moved, left town, left Bethlehem. Took the two sons. Went to Moab, a pagan place. And that's where they live. And Naomi's husband died. And then her two sons died. And then she started back to Bethlehem. And this is what she's saying. God has dealt bitterly with me. God. That's what she said. Don't, they said, here's Naomi. They said, don't call me Naomi. Call me Mara. Bitter. God's dealt bitterly with me. And yet, she went to Moab to get Ruth. And brought Ruth back with her. And then when she brought Ruth back with her, she came in contact with Boaz. And Boaz brought her right back to where she was in all the beauties and wonderful things that she could have. And then, one day, She held in her arm her great grandson, and his name was David. Man after God's own. God dealt bitterly with me. No, he hadn't. No, you just thought he did. You just thought he did. You just think like all the rest of us do. God doesn't deal bitterly with any of his children. God deals graciously and compassionately with all of his children. And don't you judge things by things which appear. You judge these things by those things which don't appear. That's not too deep, it's just so. I can't explain the troubles and trials and disappointments that God brings to pass in the life of his children. I just want to remember this verse. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. You know why? Because God is the first cause of all things. First cause. One of the most difficult days of our life is when our firstborn son, came back from Vietnam in a coffin with both arms, both legs gone. Why? Want to answer that for me? God is the first cause of all things. That's why. That's why. It's the Lord! When Eli's two sons were destroyed, he said, what you going to do about that? He said, it's the Lord. Let him do what seemeth good in his sight. God's the first cause of all things. Let's remember that. And when there's no herd in the stall, and there's no meat in the freezer, and there's all these things, rejoice at the Lord. Can you do that pretty well? I'm not going to say yet. But I ought to. Sure. One of my friends said to a friend, said, you're nothing but an habitual bitcher. That's not a good compliment, is it? Why don't we all quit doing that? Just stop it. Just stop it. Just stop it right now. Thank God. In everything, give thanks. Because this is God's will for you. You may not like it, but it's still God's will. You may not choose it, but it's still God's will. Look at the next one, verse 19. Quench not the spirit. You know, in dealing with this, Brother Todd, in dealing with this statement, quench not the spirit, I would do well to remember what it does not mean. That's where I'm going to start, what it does not mean. Quench not the spirit does not mean that you can prevent or hinder the Spirit of God from accomplishing his purpose and his will. You can't do that. You can't. And I have one scripture that tells me that. Our Lord said, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you hear the sound thereof, but you can't tell whence it's coming, and you don't know where it's going. So is everyone born of the Spirit. You can't stop him, correct him. You cannot hinder him. You cannot prevent him. He's going to do what he will. You have he quickened who were dead. The scripture says the Holy Spirit divided to every man severally as he will. So it's not of him that runneth, nor of him that willeth, it's of God. All right, what does this mean? Then quench not the Spirit. Well, Paul describes the fruits of the Spirit. Let's turn to that. Galatians chapter 5. Let's turn to that for just a moment. The fruit of the Spirit. That's what the Holy Spirit produces in the life of a believer. The fruit. It's not fruits. It's not plural. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Everybody who has the Spirit has the fruit of the Spirit. to some degree or other. In other words, here they are. Love. Every believer loves to some extent. Every believer has joy. He wouldn't be saved if he didn't have peace, long suffering, patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust thereof. If we live in the Spirit, let's act like it. Let's walk in the Spirit. That's what he's saying. The fruits of the Spirit. If you live in the Spirit, if God's Spirit dwells in you, then act like a believer. Talk like a believer. Walk like a believer. Verse 26 said, don't be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. Walk in the Spirit, and you won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then I'll tell you another thing here. Quench not the Spirit, but stir it up. Let me show you another scripture. Turn to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6. 2 Timothy 1, verse 6. Paul says this in writing to young Timothy. 2 Timothy 1, 6. Wherefore I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. Stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love of a sound mind. Stir up. You know, we used to bank the fire. I lived in the country, and everybody had open fires and burned wood and grates. And at night, when it turned cold, my dad would bank the fire, put ashes on the fire. Just make it go down, 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 down. And bank the fire. Next morning, still some embers there, but it was lying low. You know, and he'd come in with a poker. Stir it up. Put on some more wood. Stir. That's what Paul's talking about. Stir up the gift of God. Fruits of the Spirit. The things that, we're not robots, you know. We're not robots. Scripture talks about in Philippians chapter 2. Listen to what it says right in Philippians chapter 2. Verse 12. We're not robots. We're people. With emotions. All these other things. Philippians 2 verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Stir up the talents and gifts and opportunities God gave us. I used to tell folks, you know, when you feel impressed, when you feel impressed to give somebody something or to do something for them, don't analyze it. If you feel like you should give a certain amount of money or something else to somebody, or a gift or potatoes or whatever, don't analyze saying, I can't afford that much. When God lays it on your heart, just do it. Don't analyze it now, because you'll figure out a half a dozen ways not to do it. That's right. Now, you might get in trouble doing that often, but most of the time it's the thing to do. We have a way of analyzing things. We have to say, can I afford it? If he told you to, you can. I just know that's so. Just do it. Quench not the Spirit. Isn't that what that's talking about? Don't hinder, but just stir up the fire. Now here, verse back where I'm supposed to be here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Despise not prophesying. What is that? That's preaching. Despise not preaching. Now the Old Testament was written by the Old Testament prophets. God, who at sundry times and in different manners spake in times past to our fathers, hath in these last days spoken to us by His Son and by the apostles. All scriptures by given by inspiration of God, prophets and the New Testament writers. And God uses preachers. God still uses preachers. He saves sinners by the foolishness of preaching. That's right. He reveals Christ to the hearts of his people by preaching. Not by sharing, sitting around a table arguing. Preaching. It pleased God for the foolishness of preaching. Doing right exactly what we're doing right now. By preaching, it pleased God for the foolishness of preaching to save his people. His comfort comes through preaching. So this is what Paul said here. Don't despise. Don't neglect. Don't hold in small esteem. Don't set at naught the preaching of the word of God, because by it men are saved. And one man told me one time, he said, now you just write it down. If you preach the word of God, people are going to respond. They'll either get mad, sad, or glad, but they're not going to be neutral. Mad, glad, or sad. Preach it. Preach it. A lady in our church, a widow lady, brought her boyfriend to hear me preach. Never been there before. I've never met him. He walked in, sat down with her. Opal Clark, she's dead and gone now, and champ. They later married. But anyway, he came in and sat there, and I preached that Sunday morning. And he got up with her and left. And she said he was awful quiet. And she said, after a while, sitting in the quietness of the car as they drove along, she said, what's wrong? Boy, he said, you sure filled that preacher in on me, didn't you? She said, champ, he never met you, and I've never told you him about you. He just knows a sinner when he meets one. That man was converted, came back. He heard and he preached. That's God uses the preaching of the gospel. Our Lord was a preacher. John the Baptist was a preacher. Solomon was a preacher. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Don't despise. A lot of preaching is pretty, ought to be despised. Some of us don't count, you know. Just, but not this kind of preaching. God uses it. I was in a Bible conference one time, several years ago, 20 years ago. I was in a Bible conference. Brother Portner, Brother Scott Richardson, and I. And there's another preacher. But anyway, we were going to have a service that night, and Scott was going to preach, and I was going to preach. And we was eating dinner out on the ground while we were waiting for the service to start. And I was sitting there, and Doris was close by, and I said, honey, would you get me a cup of coffee? So she took my cup, went into the kitchen, and got a cup of coffee and brought it back. There was a lady sitting across from me. And she got angry. She didn't get bad and sad. She got mad. She turned to the person next to her and said, looks like to me he could get up and get his own coffee if he wanted it, you know. Well, you know. But anyway, she told this lady, said, I'm not hearing him preach tonight. I'll go hear Brother Scott, but I'm going home. Scott was first and I was second. So she stayed to hear Scott. And Scott preached the word of God. And he got to her. She stayed. And then God let me preach. This is the truth. Finished the message. And a man in the back said, that's enough for me. I'm going to trust in the Lord. Walked on up. Here she came. Right behind him. She said, I've been proud and arrogant. And I'm going to ask the Lord to do something for me too. Preaching. That's the way it's done. Just a year ago, I was down there in a meeting. She's still my buddy. we're dear friends. She loves me because of what I preach. I've had some bitter enemies become cherished friends. Why? Preach the gospel to them. So don't neglect and despise and hold in little esteem the preaching of the gospel. Preach the word. Paul said something to Timothy about that over here in 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says in verse 8 of 2 Timothy 1, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. But be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel yourself with the power of God." If you're working somewhere and there's a preacher of the gospel around, don't hold him in low esteem. Thank God for him. A true preacher of the gospel. Let everybody know he's your friend. Because if you give a cup of cold water in the name of a disciple, Christ said, "For my sake, you'll never lose your reward." My Lord said that. But don't despise them and don't hold them in low esteem. Let's finish right here in the 1 Timothy 5. Despise not preaching. Verse 21. Prove all things. Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good. Prove all things by what? By the word of God. That's the only place you can prove anything, by the word of God. I said, men are liars and they're still men, but God can't lie. He couldn't be God. God is true. And I know some people embrace everything that's religious. If it's religious, they embrace it. Some people are critical of everything religious. It's about both things going on around us. Everything has got a cross on it, they for it, you know. Everything is religious, they for it. And some people just hate everything that has anything to do with commandments and God and salvation and born again. But wise men seek the Lord. Wise still, the wise men were seeking the Lord. They still seek the Lord. Wise men prove all things by the word of the Lord. And wise men hold fast to that which is good. And wise men abstain from every appearance of evil. And here's our benediction. Verse 23 and 24 and 25, the pastor, and he quoted this to me a while ago. "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." What did you say, Todd? "Faithful is he. Faithful is he that calleth you. He'll do it." That's for sure. Thank you. This has been a great joy to me. For the last 10 weeks of being honored and permitted to stand in this place and preach for you. Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
What a message. That was such a blessing. I'm so thankful I got to hear that. Y'all better watch it. I'll start preaching. I will right now. I'll keep my mouth shut. But I want to express our appreciation so much for you and Dart being here for these last 10 weeks. They won't be here for a couple of weeks. I know the next few weeks, and they'll be back, you know, Lord willing. But they won't be here, I know, for the next 2 weeks. But it has been such a blessing to this church, and we're so grateful and thankful. And I'm just. Thank and praise the Lord for hearing what we got to hear tonight.
Yeah.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. So thankful, grateful. What a wonderful place to be. Faithful is he that calleth you. All these things are overwhelming, aren't they? Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. Everything give thanks. God is faithful is he that calleth you. Who also will. He will cause you. I love sovereign grace. That's the only kind of grace there is, sovereign grace. I would like for Paul.